This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
MasterCard sings the holiday spending blues.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm Jeff Horwich. Analysts from MasterCard today give us our first post-Christmas read on holiday spending. And their take is kind of grim. Their numbers show spending on gift-type items in the 2 months before Christmas was up less than 1% from last year. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein's been spending the morning with these holiday retail figures. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
What does MasterCard say was behind the poor showing for consumers?
Right. Well, the report's looking at the holiday goods, things like furniture, clothing, and electronics. And the analysts blame this poor showing on the threat of the fiscal cliff in Washington, the shootings in Newtown, the presidential election, even the weather.
Yeah, remind us, what was up with the weather in this period?
Sure. Well, sales dropped in both the Mid-Atlantic and the Greater Northeast, ground zero for Superstorm Sandy last month. According to MasterCard, those two regions make up nearly a quarter of all retail sales in the country. But Julie Neiman, an analyst with Smith Moore & Company, thinks what's really going on is that people are just digging out of the recession.
Consumers are staying in their budgets. They still have high levels of operating consumer debt. Jobs are improving, but the pay is at lower levels, so consumers are being smart about this.
Dan, Christmas is over. Is there anything that retailers might do now to try and entice those smart consumers back?
Well, Paula Rosenblum of RSR Research thinks we're going to start seeing some serious discounts here.
Today is going to be a huge shopping day. I think the whole rest of this week is going to be a big shopping week. So you're going to see the sales sort of come along over this week and next week into January. And the implication is retailers will take gross margin hits. Their profits will be down.
You know, Jeff, Rosenblum thinks on top of the bad weather and everything else, by promoting gift cards and pushing the holiday season so far up into the calendar, retailers really just have themselves to blame for these poor sales.
Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
And let's do the numbers. At this hour, the Dow is down about 0.3%, or 39 points, sitting at 13,101. The S&P 500 is down about 0.5%. The NASDAQ is off 0.7%. U.S. home prices continue to rise, so says the S&P Case-Shiller Index for October. The index shows the realty market strengthening even as we headed into the typically slower time of the year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by CEB, formerly Corporate Executive Board, working to equip senior leaders and their teams with insight and actionable solutions to transform operations. More by Googling CEB.
President Obama is heading back early from Christmas in Hawaii to face a fiscal cliff deadline that's now less than a week away. Without a deal, and potentially even with a deal, many temporary tax breaks will disappear. A tax credit for wind power is one of those still up in the air. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Eve Tro.
The production tax credit means companies that build giant wind turbines get a 30% rebate if they're spinning by year's end. So a lot of construction crews are working through the holidays, says Scott Clavenna, CEO of Green Tech Media.
There really is this hard and fast rule that the wind farm has to be put into service by December 31st.
This year will look like a great year for wind power on paper because developers pushed to meet the deadline. But he says even if the tax credit is renewed at the 11th hour, the uncertainty around it means...
Basically, the market will crash next year. There's no exception to that possibility.
Wind turbine manufacturing stands to lose tens of thousands of jobs, many in the Midwest. But long term, the wind power industry will grow, says Michael Skelly. He runs Cleanline, a company that connects wind farms to the power grid.
We depend on demand in renewable energy, And we think that the fundamentals around that are very strong.
Because there's more to wind power than just making more turbines. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
Somewhere along the way, this whole fiscal cliff thing got tangled up with another fiscal debate that we have seen before, raising the debt ceiling. Partly, that's just politics, and partly, it's timing. The Treasury Department estimates Congress will need to raise the ceiling again in the next couple months. Marketplace's David Gurra explains the history of the debt ceiling and why we keep bumping our heads on this debate again and again.
We got the debt limit, or the debt ceiling, in 1917.
Inside the White House, President Woodrow Wilson conferred with advisors, then signed the Proclamation of War against Germany.
Before then, Congress had to give its okay every time the Treasury Department issued a bond. Julian Zeltzer teaches U.S. history at Princeton, and he says that during the run-up to World War I, lawmakers recognized that wasn't very efficient.
Congress decided to create this debt ceiling to give more flexibility and efficiency to the federal government to handle a growing debt.
Congress sets the debt limit, the amount of money the government can borrow to pay what it owes. Sarah Binder, who teaches political science at George Washington University, says lawmakers realized early on that gave them a lot of power.
This was a tool for trying to get Congress and President to agree to other things.
When President Eisenhower tried to raise it, he clashed with Republicans and Southern Democrats. The same thing happened to President Kennedy.
The debt limit does not and cannot control expenditures.
In the middle of negotiations over the fiscal cliff, President Obama said it'd be easier if the administration no longer needed congressional approval to raise the debt limit. Well, that didn't interest House Speaker John Boehner.
Congress is never going to give up our ability to control the purse. And the fact is that the debt limit ought to be used to bring fiscal sanity to Washington, D.C.
But Julian Zeltzer says that's not what the debt limit was designed to do.
The debt ceiling isn't the way to really control spending. It's the budget process.
Something Congress hasn't been good at. It hasn't passed a budget since 2009. In Washington, I'm David Gurra for Marketplace.
And finally, a brief story of one man whose Christmas wish may be coming true. This fall, a Norwegian guy named Havard Rugland posted a YouTube video set to music of himself kicking a football, kicking it over a patch of trees, kicking it directly to a person in a moving boat, kicking dead center field goals from 60 yards away. NFL scouts noticed. Now the Norwegian broadcaster NRK reports Rugland was brought to the States for a tryout with the New York Jets. One kicking coach says with a little finesse, he could be one of the great kickers of all time. I'm Jeff Horwich. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Does this sound like your boss?
He wanted to hear directly from us and hear what we had to say. His view was that was both more effective in terms of communication, but also more effective in terms of motivation. And I think that was an important part of the way he managed.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. How bosses get more productivity out of us at work. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.